I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
From Decrypt Media, this is the Decrypt Daily, and my name is Matthew Diemer. Today on the show, we're going to talk about opportunities that are being created in the crypto space. That and other news coming up today on the Decrypt Daily. Good morning. Tuesday, January 18th, 2022, and I got the year right again, so yay for me. Jamie wrote into the show after our conversation, our week in review with Andrew Hayward, talking about NFTs. And Jamie said this: in listening to your show with Andrew talking about NFT flossing with the Bored Ape Yacht Club and other high-dollar JPEG profile pictures, I picked up an undercurrent of disgust in the brazen display of the haves in a world of have-nots. And yes, I'm beyond frustrated by our rogue capitalism, a sentiment coined by Tim O'Reilly, that drives our ridiculous wealth gap off the cliffs of insanity. That said, as a pragmatist that works in the ESG space, I would far rather see excessive money being poured into digital goods over physical goods. You want to show off? Buy a punk rather than a garage full of Lambos. Go drop some coin on a house in the Metaverse Hills rather than develop raw land to build your third vacation home somewhere in someone's private island. You spoke about this January 20th proof of work hearing on Capitol Hill to energy shame the crypto industry. Again, as an ESG, energy, sustainability, and equity professional, I latch onto the blockchain and metaverse with hope as a way for us to save our destructive consumer culture by enabling us to shift this fiscal recklessness to a post-scarcity digital world. The long story short, yo, do all that dumb rich people shit in the metaverse and preserve our meatverse here in the real world. So I personally love witnessing all the floss. Love the show and look forward to your election, Jamie. What do you guys think about what Jamie said? Email me, MatthewAaron@decrypt.co. Now let's get into those crypto prices.
Here comes the money.
Here we go. Money talk.
And I'm recording this at 11:45 Eastern Standard Time. We got Bitcoin sitting at $41,651, down 1.5%. Ethereum, $3,120, down 3.4%. Tether number 3, Binance at $459, down 2.8%. Cardano number 5 at $145, down 2.3%. Running off the top 10, we have USDC, Solana, XRP, Luna, and Polkadot. Total market cap, we're at $1.96 trillion, a BTC dominance of 40 even, and an ETH dominance of 18.9%. And now it's time for coin of the day. Our coin of the day today is ASD, ticker ASD. Price is 31.5 cents, it's down 1.7% in 24. Market cap is 208.3 million. Fully diluted is 246.5 million. So basically, we'll just call it 95% is in circulation, and its total supply is 780 million coins. Its all-time high price is $3.26, it's down 90% since then. That was set 10 months ago, and its all-time low was 3 years ago at 1.4 cents. You can buy this coin at Shitcoin Mecca, KuCoin, FTX, and that's pretty much it where you have good liquidity. So, really quick, what does this coin do? So, this is Ascendex, and that's the ASD, it's short for Ascendex. This is a global digital asset financial platform, basically it's a trading platform. And it's founded by a group of Wall Street quantitative trading veterans in 2018, building on a core of efficiency, resilience, and transparency. Apparently, there are 200 trading pairs, and you can do cash, margin, future products, in particular, margin trading for over 50 tokens. So it's a trading platform, ticker ASD, currently ranked 196 on CoinMarketCap. And we have another conversation today. I welcome on Paul McNeil, the crypto curator. I haven't spoken with him for a couple months on the show, and he sent me an article the other day that was kind of positive about opportunity and the opportunities that the crypto space was making. And I just want to have a conversation about it. So without further ado, here is Paul McNeil and myself talking about opportunities in the crypto space. Old friend, Paul McNeil, the crypto curator. How are you doing, sir? And how's your hiatus from Twitter?
Doing good, Matthew. The hiatus is going good. Although there are temptations to jump back on Twitter, but I'm going to resist for the rest of this month.
Well, I am very happy that you are taking some time for yourself, mental health, and outside of the I don't want to call it an echo chamber, but the chamber of opinions, of polarizing opinions in social media. So congratulations on your step into reality, sir.
Thanks, man. Thanks, man. Yeah, I just found that I think that I have enough people to share information with that I don't necessarily need Twitter. And me being off of Twitter for so far half of the month has proven to be true.
The reason why we're talking today is you sent me an article and it made me think about opportunity and crypto. And we have a lot of negative news a lot here about regulations, about this, about NFT prices, or, just the day-to-days of the crypto space, but we never actually talk about the opportunity that crypto or this industry, this ecosystem is providing for different demographics. And you sent me an article the other day about a homeless person who is now banked because of the Bitcoin Lightning Network. You sent me an article about artists that are creating their art and, you know, even to sell it digitally, NFTs and so on and so forth, and because of the systems that are created that we're having here now. And so I wanted to have a conversation about this space and what it is actually giving to humanity, to society, that it wasn't there before.
Yeah, no, listen, Matthew, ever since I've been aware of Bitcoin, and that's been since 2011, every time I read something new, and I read a lot or listen to a podcast or watch a video, it continues to remind me of the opportunity that Bitcoin provides everyone. And I believe someone talked about this before. Bitcoin doesn't care who you are, what you are, how you're doing, what it just doesn't. Bitcoin is Bitcoin. And if you grasp and understand the technology and you leverage it, and it really can be easy to leverage no matter where you are on the globe, it provides you an enormous opportunity to actually join the financial markets unlike anything we've ever seen.
I want to talk about like the different ways somebody can join the financial markets and why, I guess, first, before we talk about how can they join, why would they not be part of, I guess, the global system or the systems that we might be accustomed to? And banks would be one of those. And we talk about, you know, the unbanked as though it's people that can't be here in the United States or people, we just don't understand completely what an unbanked person is and why that's detrimental. Can you just, you know, unpack that for a little bit for us?
Sure, Matthew. Unbanked people, again, we have unbanked people here in the United States and they're globally. The ones that are outside the United States, their situation is probably a lot more dire than here in the United States. But there are people in the United States that if you don't have an address, you can't get a bank account. If you don't have a particular, you know, identification, let me put it that way, you can't get a bank account. Status, if you've had issues in other parts of your life, and again, it doesn't allow you to have those other pieces that you need to fill out to get those accounts, then you are unbanked. When you look at globally, there are some countries that don't have a sophisticated financial system set up. They are still going down to the local store to get money or to transfer money. And they're using mobile phones to do this with. It's not what we have in the United States. So
I remember reading a article about farmers in somewhere in Africa. And they were talking about just, you know, being banked and be able to take loans to get the technology to be able to maximize their land to create more crops so they can get more money. But because they're not banked, because they can't get loans, because even buying the equipment with cash, even if they could save up the cash, where would you put the cash? I mean, in some of these places, I mean, the value of their money does not equate to something that's practical to take and buy a piece of equipment with, because you'd have to have a wheelbarrow of it or a truck full of it. And so when I was reading these articles that you sent about unbanked and the person, you know, sending money via Lightning and it just being on a cell phone or a burner phone and then able to transact, it made me inspired to understand that if the tools exist, if you are creative and you find a way to leverage those tools, then the opportunities are endless.
That is so true. Listen, especially this homeless guy that was in the Netherlands, I think it's amazing, right? He finds himself in a predicament that, he has no home, he has no money, he has nothing. And someone stops and introduces him to the Lightning Network, right? And then he takes it upon himself, digs into it some more. And that person actually gave him some Satoshis. And that's what he said made it real for him, because he said before he heard that it was a scam. Bitcoin's a scam. That's what the media tells us. It's a scam. But this person has given me something now. It's real. I can see it. And I don't think it's a scam anymore. And so then all of a sudden he realizes, aha, there is something behind this. And he digs and finds out more and he leverages it. So that's the way that I think that this technology is going to be for a lot of people, especially those people that are unbanked. And this is what's so appealing about Lightning Network. This is what, let me look at what Jack Mallers did, right? Strike is Lightning Network. And it didn't get, I didn't get it the first time I started hearing about Strike either. But the moment I got it, the Bitcoin payment network is different than sending Bitcoin. Two separate things. Listen, we're talking about running the financial rails across the Bitcoin blockchain. That changes the game, because now I can send money globally, $0. That's massive, and it's and do it in seconds. That's crazy. So all of a sudden, these people that are homeless, that can't walk into a bank and say, hey, I want to get a bank account, they could say, give me a Strike account, and all of a sudden, boom, I'm off and running. I can send money back and forth. That's amazing.
It seems as though what we're talking about here, and because I'm going to bridge this to creatives and artists, is that there are, I don't want to say fringe, but I guess that the society values certain kind of creation more than others. And with the right tools, that value can transfer, because the ease of making sure of transacting value now changes. And so what I mean is I saw a lot of people that were artists, you know, that were trying to create art. And, you know, we have the whole starving artist like narrative that's there. But once NFTs and these marketplaces started to pop up, we saw that a lot more artists have ways to make a living. And I think that's given a lot of value to society. So obviously, you know, there's like the traditional and things like Etsy, you know, people have these little creative, and you have Etsy's and you have this place that's on there. But now with, you know, NFTs, you have these people that are creating in the digital, which is a new emerging. And now we're creating this whole new ecosystem that allows them to not only be creatives, but take that value of creation, of expression, and get it out to the world. And the world now can, no matter where you are, you just don't have to create it for a certain market, but your art can be in all markets at once. And somebody who finds value in that can take it. And I think that that is an amazing innovation.
And again, this is what I get so excited about, because technology really does level the playing field, if you ask me, because you're right. Listen, if I'm a 15-year-old kid and I'm good at drawing art and I create something that's really cool, I can all of a sudden now put this in front of the world and allow the world to tell me if it has value. I was listening to a podcast called Remarkable People with Guy Kawasaki. He happened to be talking to someone. They were talking about a story on there. Actually, I take it back. It wasn't Guy Kawasaki's podcast. Sorry. It was a TED Talk. It was by a guy who was talking about going from your gut, just doing things from your gut. And he was saying that he moved to California from the UK, and he went in the store and bought these pants, and he wouldn't took them back. Turned them inside out, sewed them up, did some designs on them, and he wore them out. And a guy saw him, and a guy liked them. And he was like, hey, how much for those pants? And he was like, I don't know, $25. He goes, I take 15 pair, right? That's what I find interesting with art, is that once you put it in front of the world all of a sudden is going to ask you, hey, how much you want for that? And you tell them the price, and they're like, sure, I want it. And that's what technology gives you. You've got digital assets that gives you the ability to accept payment. And now you have channels, social channels, where you can send your information, your ideas, and let the world bid on them, so to speak.
What other opportunities do you think that this kind of new rails, if you will, are going to bring to the world?
I think it's going to bring more ways for people to help people. Again, I was just another podcast, and they said, if you go back and you look at the Bitcoin white paper, what does it say? It doesn't say anything about inflation. It doesn't say anything about hyperinflation. It says a peer-to-peer electronic currency system. Peer-to-peer is what this is about. And for once in our lives, we've got a decentralized censorship-resistant technology that's going to allow us to interact without the middleman. This is a beautiful thing. And I think it's going to allow people to help people. And I'm hoping that society, the good humanity part of society, leverages this most. And that's what gets talked about most, not the hacks and scams.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
So what are you most excited about with this, you know, technology? Look, we just said peer-to-peer, we said opportunity, we said, you know, leveraging, and, you know, that makes, those are words that people know. But yeah, what people don't know is like how to actually engage in this. And we gave them a couple of examples, like, okay, a homeless person could be banked. A creative can make their art and sell it in NFTs, and now there's a new marketplace that is expanding. But that seems also just very tip of the iceberg. Do we see that this is going to, I guess, broaden through the development and the innovations and the expansions of this industry?
It is, Matthew, and so many different rabbit holes to go on here, but I'll just say this. So I think that if, here in the U.S., we're privileged. If people in the U.S. wakes up and they use this as what Mark Yusko called it, the best savings technology on the planet, if they just did that, that's going to change their trajectory of their financial future in drastic ways. And not the day-to-day shifts of this asset. I'm talking the year-over-year, decade-over-decade shifts of this asset is going to do exponential for them what they could have been done before. It is going to transform the payment system. You know, Matthew, I went to the bank the other day to deposit some money. The bank, number one, this was on a Saturday. It should have been that I deposited the money on Saturday. But no. It says it was not going to get deposited until today because Monday was a holiday and Sunday the bank's closed. So, but why didn't it just say it was deposited on Saturday, the day that I deposited? Well, it was a large sum of money and they put it on hold. And they said, you can't get access to this for at least 14 days. So I'm like, okay, so I got to wait 14 days to get access to this. And they said, oh, by the way, we'll give you $225 right now. What? It's my money. You're holding my money and you're telling me I can't. This is ridiculous. Listen, with digital assets, it's going to change the games. This technology, like I said, there's so many rabbit holes we can go down this. It's upending everything. Everything it touches is going to upend it.
But I want to talk about opportunity. And an opportunity like, so The thing that we saw here was that it is allowing, and I've spoken about this in length on the show about the different opportunities it could have for people who want to leverage assets that they have that traditional banks won't give them to do home improvements or education or anything else, you know, because they need extra money, but they have assets, but they're just not either enough for a bank to actually care about or you don't have the income that a bank will approve a loan for you for. And that happens a lot of times. Like, it's not even falling through the cracks, it's that the system is designed for people, for certain income earners, and then everybody else who makes under that just isn't a part of the system. What other opportunities do you see here? Yes, I think you're talking about when you told the story. I heard yes, that's an issue, that's an operational issue. You're fine, you got cash, you just gotta wait. I know it's annoying, but it's a protection for the bank too, and it's protection for you, and it's a protection for fraud, and there's all kinds of, like, you know, things we could talk about this. So that again is a privileged statement that you said, but what is the opportunities, other opportunities that we're seeing come out?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of them, and the person that probably champions this more than anybody else is Alex Mashinsky, right? That this is his whole thing. Celsius Networks is a platform that allows you to leverage your digital assets so that you don't have to sell them. They were the first ones that did this so that you didn't have to sell them for taxes. So, I mean, you could, you know, because we always get hit with taxes. But the point is that he's given you the opportunity to maintain the asset, hold it in your custody, their custody, your custody. Either you can earn a yield on it or you can borrow against it. And so the goal is, and if you do it right, and that platform is the only platform that allows you to do a 25% LTV at 1%, which if anybody knows money, it's called free money, right? If I'm going to give you a loan at 1%, and the magic is that it's an interest-only loan. So let's just hypothetically say you had $100,000 in Celsius and you want to take a 25% loan. They give you $25,000 at 1%, and you're only going to pay 1% every month. That's all. I mean, 1%, well, you're going to pay a fraction of 1% every month because it's 1% APY. It's free money. And that's all you're doing. And you can do that for a year, 2 years, or 3 years. And at the end of 3 years, you can roll it over and do it again. Basically, you never pay the loan off. And with Bitcoin moving the way that it does, or any of these assets moving the way they do, over time, you can wind up doing a reverse margin call, freeing up some of your assets, and do it again. Basically, buy, hold, retire, die. That's what you do. Buy, hold, retire, die. You never sell the asset.
Well, that's a smart strategy. I might have to look into that for myself, actually. Thank you, Paul. Last question is, we're talking about opportunity again, and I'm trying to make this a positive conversation about what the crypto industry is, because there's a lot of things that are going to be coming out to try to talk the crypto industry down, or what's being created. Yeah. It's either money laundering or fraud or environmental, or, you know, the whole idea that it's going to debase the dollar, which I think is total ludicrous, honestly. Right. But there are those talking points. How do you think that the crypto space is going to operate with the future of, you know, the economy? That's my first question. And the second one is, what do you see right now with the American economy? We have a lot of uncertainty with the markets. We have a lot of conversations about what the Fed's going to do and inflation and, you know, interest rates and so on and so forth. And of course, the debt to GDP ratio. How does all this positively impact the United States and the global economy for the short and long term?
Bitcoin will slowly eat away at every aspect of the financial infrastructure, and it will slowly eat away at every aspect of society. And what I mean by that is not in a bad way. This is in a good way, and it's going to provide opportunity along the way in each and every level, whether that's politics, whether that's with clean energy, whether that's with changing the way that you do equities and company raising money, you know, the list goes on and on, where Bitcoin is beginning to take these chunks out of society, and people are going to begin to look toward Bitcoin to solve a lot of the problems. Listening to Mr. Wonderful, who was a staunch, you know, person against digital assets and Bitcoin, and oh, it's all dirty energy, and he's constantly now trying to find more ways to get involved with it, invest money in underground mines and, you know, Saudi Arabia. I mean, he's trying to figure out ways that he wants to be in the exchange business. He's like, listen, I want to be in the exchange business, the moving of value around with digital assets. And I think we're going to see more opportunities continue to rise up for everyone, whether you are extremely poor or if you're extremely wealthy. There is going to be something that the Bitcoin network will provide to you that you can leverage. And for those who are paying attention, reading, watching, and listening daily, they'll know where they can play and the opportunity. Because here's what I believe, Matthew. Opportunities are always doing this, knocking on doors constantly. Most people just aren't prepared to open the door. They're not ready to open a door. They're not willing to open the door.
Very good point. Very good point. I can tell you right now, if I look back at my life, there's opportunities that I missed because I didn't hear it knocking, or I was too scared to open the door because it was knocking too damn hard. There's like the cops out there. I'm like, yo, bro, calm down with that knocking. So I 100% agree. I did lie. I did say it was the last question, but after you said how it's going to chip away at, you know, every aspect of society or industry or facet, do you think it's all going to be positive? And or do you think that there's going to be a very negative, a very glaring negative side to this that we really have to watch out for?
I think there will be. Regulation right now seems to be that little bit of a bear. And I think that the smart people understand we're going to need good regulation. There's no such thing as no regulation. Not true. We're going to have regulation. It just needs to be good regulation. So we need smart people putting their heads down, writing and constructing, collaborating, trying to compromise on really good regulation that makes sense. And I think if that clears up, then the tsunami of players gets just massive, right? Because all of a sudden, people that have maybe been a little fearful about dipping their toe in and coming in, they can now come in and know I'm safe and I'm okay. Regulation is not coming after me. So regulation is the place that I would look.
And what do you mean by people who are fearful? We're not talking about people who to buy Bitcoin or trade or whatever. We're talking about builders in the space, correct?
Builders, institutions. I was listening to a podcast yesterday. It was talking about institutions investing in Bitcoin and was talking about the fact that they're all doing it through Coinbase, and Coinbase has some like 2 million Bitcoin custody. It's like, okay, that's dangerous. But guess what? That's where they have to go. They're not going to custody their own crypto. It's too dangerous for them to do so. So we've got to make that process better for them and easier. But guess what? By law, they're not allowed to custody their own crypto. This is what people don't understand. Regulation has it such that a large institution can't custody their own crypto. It's illegal to do so. You got to change the rules, guys. You got to change the rules.
Well, thank you, Paul McNeil, the crypto curator, for coming on and talking about the upsides for the crypto market. I always, when you go to the news every day and you hear the headlines and headlines and headlines, somehow it gets monotonous for me. I think I'm in that mood right now where it's just a little monotonous. And you sent me an article where people were actually writing positives about crypto, and it made me just want to go, hey, let's just talk about it. Because one thing that we don't, I mean, one thing we just don't do a lot of, because I guess it just doesn't get the clicks or get the attention, is just talk about all the positives that are happening day to day in and day out. And we just see the negatives. And that's not just in crypto, but that's all news. All news is never focusing on the positives that are being done all around the world or in your backyard. So appreciate that.
Indeed, indeed. Well, hey, Matthew, you know, the biggest news today for me anyway was BitMEX, dude. They acquired one of Germany's oldest banks. That's huge. Because now you got a regulated player stepping in Europe, and those guys are coming hard. So it's going to be interesting.
Well, Paul, that's coming up in my next segment. So would you please not spoil my news of the day?
Okay, I'm sorry.
Thank you,
you
sir.
You can cut it out. Okay, bye.
As you just heard, BitMEX has today announced plans to purchase Bankhaus Vanderheit, a 268-year-old German bank. And if you are German and you're listening to this, I am really sorry about the pronunciation. You can send me a voice memo, matthew@decrypt.co, to teach me how to pronounce that properly. This is not a done deal, though. The acquisition of this Munich-based bank is still subject to approval by Germany's Federal Financial Supervisory Authority, but it's expected to be done by mid-2022. Bankhaus Vanderheit will continue to be operated as a standalone business once this deal is finalized, with BitMEX's CEO and CFO joining the bank's supervisory board. Today, Emergo and the Cardano Foundation launched a project that will see the two organizations combine efforts and resources to foster the development of a community-generated and maintained tool stack to support the Cardano ecosystem and accelerate decentralized application development. The project will consist with an MVP1 and MVP2. The MVP1 will consist of a module tool stack and be built by 5 binaries. An infrastructure development company focused on creating a customized, highly reliable blockchain solution under the Apache Software License 2.0, publicly on GitHub and hosted by the Cardano Foundation. And finally, Crypto.com has reportedly fallen victim-ish to a hack, with at least $15 million worth of Ethereum stolen-ish. Despite reports of the missing funds, the platform has yet to confirm that it has indeed been attacked. Crypto.com has about $3 billion in trading volume in 24 hours, and so it's the fourth largest centralized cryptocurrency exchange, according to CoinGecko. And so on Monday, Crypto.com announced that it was pausing withdrawals after a small number of users experienced unauthorized activity in their accounts, but it also said the funds are safe. And then a few hours later, the CEO of Crypto.com said that no customer funds were stolen, but there was a hack, but maybe there wasn't. It's also worth noting that funds that the users claimed were missing were actually returned to their accounts. So there's a little bit of weirdness happening here, but we'll get to the bottom of it. And when we do, you'll hear it here. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Decrypt Daily. I want to say thank you to everyone that left us ratings on iTunes and on Spotify. The ratings are growing. People are getting more confidence. We're getting an influx of listeners to the show. I appreciate that, but don't stop here. If you haven't been on iTunes and rated the show, rate us 5-star and leave us a nice comment. And if you haven't done it on Spotify, it's super easy. Just open up Spotify on your mobile, and right on the top left, you'll see a new rating system. Click 5 stars. It helps us stay visible, and it helps people have confidence to listen to the show. So if you want to advocate for daily crypto news, best way to do it, make sure that we're rated well so everybody knows this is the best damn crypto news show in the biz. And until tomorrow, happy coddling everyone.